We're gearing up for brush fire season again, or at least what we call brush fire season. The truth is, so far in 2022, nearly 200,000 acres of California have already burned in wildfires, 4 people have died, and more than 500 structures have been damaged or destroyed. We need to get used to living with that constant threat, even in urban areas like the city of LA. We talked to our new fire chief, Kristen Crowley, about how she's getting Los Angeles ready for the dangers to come, and about her groundbreaking new role as LA's first female fire chief. And as wildfires in our state become more frequent and destructive, it's important to think about how we can protect ourselves and our property. California's insurance commissioner joins us to talk about what we can do to help ourselves and what he's proposed to get the insurance companies to offer discounts to consumers. And recent brush fires across the state have left us with orange skies, a fine dusting of ash across our cars, and a higher chance of lung cancer. We talked to an oncologist about the risk from all that smoke. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Last year in California, wildfires burned more than 2 million acres. 2 million acres. Think about that. That's so much property. And we're just getting ramped up these days, it seems, for yet more fire danger. Yeah, to deal with a relentless fire situation, you have to have a relentless firefighting team. And firefighters all over California have done their jobs. Kristen Crowley, new fire chief for the city of Los Angeles, LA's first female fire chief. That's certainly worth talking about, too. Just on the job for 6 months, and you got sworn in a half a year ago. How's that job going? How you feeling? What are the challenges? So many questions.
It's obviously an amazing opportunity. Challenges. Yes, there's a tremendous amount of challenges ahead of us, but I can tell you I feel real confident in our preparation and preparedness of how we're leaning forward as the fire service as a whole, and we're ready for anything that comes our way.
You know, Chief, we don't really think about it necessarily as Los Angeles being a place where brush fires come through here. But look, we've had some big, bad fires in this town. The Bel Air fire, just to name one, way back when. So when we think about Los Angeles and dealing with massive fires, what do you think about as a department?
Right. So first and foremost, number one is to ensure that we're leaning as far forward as we can when it comes to preparedness and preparation and preparing the community. So that's a big piece. We talk about the importance of brush clearance. Brush clearance is so essential in how we can fight fire by allowing us the defensible space that we need to ensure that we can protect the homes and lives and property. That's really, really important. So preparedness and prevention is key. Secondarily, and just as important, is to ensure that we have properly trained firefighters who know their jobs, know it well, and that we also have the ability to staff our resources, share our resources, and once that call to action occurs, that we respond quickly, efficiently, and appropriately to make sure that we mitigate that emergency.
And we do, you know, to be clear, wildfires are certainly a threat. I mean, we have hillsides, we have, you know, areas like Griffith Park, Porter Ranch. I mean, there's certainly places where, you know, a brush fire can come through and do a whole lot of damage, as we've seen in the past.
We have, and paying attention to history is very, very important. We know how certain types of fires burn in certain areas. We talk about a fire season. Well, things have changed. Obviously, we know that. There's no longer just a period of time where we need to be concerned about brush fires in the city of LA. So again, we're training, we're leaning forward and making sure that we have the proper resources to deal with that emergency whenever it comes our way.
When we talk about the firefighter's toolbox, It's a pretty massive toolbox, actually. Air, ground. Tell us a little bit about the things you use. You know, we see those DC-10s. We see those big super scoopers that come from Canada. Talk about that.
Sure. So that is the good thing about how we prepare for this season, and it's having the right resources at the right time. So on an everyday basis, Los Angeles City Fire Department, we have a large capability of just utilizing the resources internally that we have control over, which are our 5 helicopters that drop nearly 500 gallons of water on the fire, let alone we have the ability to contract outside and use larger capacity helicopters that can drop nearly 3,000 gallons of retardant, plus, like you talked about, the super scoopers. So we have relationships across the state to share resources. And that's what it's all about, is making sure that we have the proper resources to mitigate the emergency dependent upon the size and complexity of the fire.
Over the years, I've been on a lot of these fires. I mean, a lot. And over the years, I've seen that dry chaparral. You could take it and crack it. And with drought the way it is, and the way we think of the future with global warming, what are the fears that you have going forward?
You know, the main fear is that it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. So again, how do we lean forward as an emergency capability response to ensure that the community is as safe as possible and that we're prepared? And also, again, lean way forward to ensure that we have the proper resources to hit that fire hard and fast before it gets out of control. That is a key to our strategies and tactics in regard to how we can fight the fire. Now, if it's wind driven, that's a whole nother strategy and tactics. But again, we need to lean on our local resources to ensure that we have the proper firefighting apparatus to deal with that emergency.
Chief Crowley, we only have a little less than 2 minutes. I want you to talk to the folks out there in the audience. I want you to make the appeal that you want to make with regard to what you want them to do. I know that oftentimes firefighters get out with their megaphones and ask people to leave neighborhoods, but people don't want to leave, and they hose down their rooftops. But let me give you the opportunity right here now to make a plea to the people out there in the city of Los Angeles.
That plea, first and foremost, is to be prepared. Right? Preparedness doesn't come at the moment of the emergency. Preparedness comes with a very thoughtful process to ensure that you and your family are ready to go when asked to go. Now, the issue is, if you're evacuating late, that does delay our response. So I would implore the community to make sure you're ready to go. You have all your documents, you have your medicines, you have your animals, whatever it may be. And when you're asked to go, please evacuate. And then from that point, we'll take it from there, and we'll provide the best service possible that we can.
It's that thing about ready, set,
go,
right? Okay.
Ready, set, go. That's all right.
Chief Kristen Crowley, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for being with us here on Fox 11 News in Depth.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Be safe out there. And coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, what if there was something you could do to get a discount from your home insurance company for fire coverage? Well, if the state insurance commissioner has his way, that could be happening soon. We talk to him about that next. Welcome back. I'm Hal Eisner. For people who live in California, especially in those brushier hillside neighborhoods, protecting themselves from wildfires is a constant concern. Also a concern, fire insurance and the fears of cancellation or non-renewal or just not being able to afford it. Joining us to talk about that, California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara. Good to see you again. Thanks so much, Commissioner, for being with us. And you know, this is a serious issue for many people. And some people, though, they have thought about it because they talk to their insurance agents about, you know, what do I need to have? Not everybody does. And you've just recently introduced a new regulation to get insurance companies to offer consumers discounts for their increasing their fire protections. Now, can you explain this thing? It's called Safer from Wildfires. That's the proposal, the Safer from Wildfires proposal.
Absolutely, Hal. Great to see you. Well, you know, the regulation really stems from visiting over 30 different counties and talking to wildfire survivors. And a couple things were very crystal clear. We needed to drive down costs for consumers. We needed to increase transparency. And we needed, again, techniques to support our first responders, our state and local leaders in their work to protect communities. And so there's three key components to the Safer from Wildfire regulation. First is pricing. I'm requiring insurance companies to incorporate the Safer from Wildfires framework into their pricing and give homeowners actual discounts for hardening their property, driving costs down for consumers. Second, transparency. Consumers will receive their property wildfire risk score for the first time and reasons for that score. And my department will also have oversight for the first time to be able to look at these scores and how accurate they are. Third is the right to appeal. Consumers can appeal their risk determination in case there was any discrepancies. We know now that some insurance companies use satellite images that really don't get down to the ground level to really see what homeowners have already done to not only harden their home, but to bring that fire risk down.
You know, sort of talking apples and oranges here. Car insurance. You know, we give discounts or agencies give discounts for good driving records, for good students, for all kinds of things. Why don't they do that with fire? If you harden your home, and we'll talk about hardening in a moment, why don't you get recognized for that?
Absolutely. That was the exact same question I asked when I first got elected in the midst of the largest wildfires in California's history. Why aren't we using insurance to and these discounts to be able to encourage and incentivize homeowners to harden their home? Instead, what I was hearing was insurance companies were asking consumers to spend thousands of dollars hardening their home, and yet they will still get dropped. And so where is the incentive there? And if people are going to spend thousands of dollars, they actually should get rewarded for that and not penalized.
Absolutely. You know, here's the thing, though. We've done hardening home stories right here on this show. We've had construction folks on this show talking about how you do harden the home. So why don't you tell everybody what hardening a home means and what some examples of doing that might be?
Absolutely, Hal. You know, we cannot talk about this enough. And I'm proud to say that we worked with other state agencies to create the Safer from Wildfires. We worked with CAL FIRE, the Governor's Office of Emergency Services, the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, and the CPUC to really come up with just some simple things that people should be doing to protect their property. You know, at the first level is protecting your structure, including a Class A fire rated roof, which so many of us already have, a 5-foot no burn zone around your home, ember and fire resistant vents, which are critical. Again, and then the level two is really protecting your immediate surroundings, including clearing vegetation and debris from under decks, removing sheds or other outbuildings at least 30 feet from the structure. And for the first time, we actually came up with community-wide mitigation efforts, which means, you know, examples of community-wide programs, for example, are the Fire Risk Reduction Community Designation created by the Board of Forestry. This is available for counties, cities, and local districts. Firewise communities are in good standing. We have over 500 in California today, and more continue to grow. The critical thing here is that for the first time, we are now strategizing on how do we bring down the risk for the entire community, not just the individual parcel, because as I'm sure you've heard from neighbors, they'll say, you know, I've done everything, spent thousands of dollars, done the work, but my neighbor hasn't. Or maybe I'm abutting a national forest, or there's a vacant property that hasn't really adequately been hardened. All that puts the people's properties in danger. And so now, for the first time, we're saying community-wide mitigation is critical, because not only do we make the entire community safe, but we keep insurers riding in those communities and competing for people's business, which ultimately brings the price down. And is exactly what we want to get accomplished with this regulation.
And it's probably fair to say that when communities work together, then they are safer together. Is that right? And
absolutely.
And I guess, you know, there are lots of ways to harden a community. I'm not sure if the greatest of all times, wait for it, the greatest of all times is putting a bunch of goats out there. Get it? Greatest of all. Putting a bunch of goats out there to chew up the yard. But some communities have done that. Take a look at this.
Right.
I mean, that's what they do. And I remember being out at the Reagan Library when they put a bunch of goats out there to get rid of all the grass out there that could burn. So this is actually a good thing when you can do this.
Absolutely. Neighbors working together is always a good thing. Making sure that our businesses are also collaborating with our communities. Again, it brings down the risk for everyone, which makes everybody safer, and it keeps insurance riding in these communities, which brings that competition is what we want to recreate. It's going to take us a while, but this regulation is the first of its kind in the country, and we hopefully set the pace for other states around the western part of our country should follow suit.
And I'm betting firefighters really like this idea.
Absolutely. We worked with CAL FIRE. They've been our number one champions on this issue, and we're really proud to work with them.
What's the time frame for all of this? I mean, it's not law yet.
No, it is not law yet. I submitted the regulation for approval on September 1st. We expect a response back from mid-October. So once it's adopted, the regulations will require all insurance companies to submit the rate filings for our department to review and approve and set up the appeal process for these risk scores within 180 days. So hopefully by the end of October, this will be done. And again, it'll give mandatory discounts for Californians who harden their home, which is a big step in making us all safer.
All right. Very good. Commissioner Lara, thanks so much for joining us. I like those goats, didn't you?
They work.
Yeah, they work too. Right. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. We all know that smoking can be hazardous to your health. But what about smoke from fires? New research does not offer positive news. We talk about that coming up after the break. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. And as if we didn't have enough to worry about when it comes to wildfires, now, new research says people living within 30 miles of wildfires were found to be more likely to develop lung cancer and brain tumors. Joining us to talk about the health risks of brush fires is Dr. Merrill Shum, the medical director of the Oncology Institute of Hope and Innovation. And glad to have you, Dr. Shum. But boy, that's not good news, is it?
No, Hal, it isn't good news.
Well, tell us a little bit about the study. Tell us a little bit about when you live within 30 miles of a wildfire. Many of us do. What are we supposed to be thinking about?
You know, as you have all experienced, there's been a growing number of wildfires in Southern and Northern California extending to the Northwest. And, you know, with that smoke, we've seen increased chemicals being released into the air, including the heavy metals, as well as the known carcinogens like benzene and hydrocarbons. And so we know that from short-term pollution that it can lead to irritation of the upper respiratory tract, leading to asthma attacks and even cardiac disease. But what wasn't known was the long-term health effects from this chronic smoke, from this wildfire exposure, until this recent study. So again, what this recent study found was they looked at individuals that lived within a 30-mile radius and determined that you were 5% more likely to develop lung cancer and 10% more likely to develop brain cancer. Although there seems to be a direct association and correlation, you know, none of the prior studies have proven causation. So this is obviously very alarming information. And while further research is underway, you know, what are the steps that we can take to minimize our risks and exposure?
Well, you know, when you live in a place like Southern California, you know, you're likely to get hit by some kind of a fire in your neighborhood or somebody else's neighborhood. We reporters, we're out there. You know, we wear N95 masks, but we're out there. And firefighters, you know, they're out there. That smoke is really like a bullet, right?
That's correct. Yeah, the air is very toxic. And over that long-term exposure, again, we can increase the risk of the cancer.
And so, you know, when we talk about this, we're not just talking about getting lung cancer. We're talking about brain tumors, too.
That's correct. And fortunately, they didn't find any association for some of the other tumors. But specifically for individuals that live around these fires, if exposed over a 10-year period, it seems that there's a correlation between lung cancer and brain cancer.
What about an increase in things like emphysema?
For sure, we know that from smoking and secondhand tobacco use, we know there's a direct link for causing cancer. So obviously the implication is that we presume that the wildfire smoke can also lead to chronic lung disease as well.
What about COPD? What about asthma? What about some of those other respiratory problems that people face?
For sure, we know the acute effects from that exposure because it causes irritation leading to inflammation. And it's that inflammation that can lead to those asthma attacks, COPD, and heart disease. But again, we still have yet to prove cause and effect from long-term wildfire smoke to developing end-stage lung disease.
I mentioned N95 masks. Is there anything people can do to protect themselves?
Absolutely. We typically break this down into five, you know, general tips that everybody can do. You know, the first thing is to really pay attention to the news and stay updated with the guidelines from your local health authorities. The second thing you can do is really try to minimize your exposure. And so, you know, we try to recommend that people stay inside their homes and keep their doors and windows closed. The third thing that we recommend is to avoid strenuous exercise and activity when outdoors. The fourth thing is to consider purchasing an air purifier system for your home. You know, these systems are portable and can be moved from room to room. And especially when using air conditioning units, you know, please find those that recirculate the air within the home and avoid bringing air in from the outside. And the fifth tip is the most important one that you mentioned, Hal, is really just to protect yourself by wearing an N95 mask. As we all know, the N95s protect us from 95% of all those particulates, and that's why it's the currently recommended mask of choice. You know, when fitted and worn appropriately, it's not only safe, but very, very effective.
You know, just to kind of bow tie here a little thing from the first segment, fire departments encourage people not to stand on their rooftops and hose down their roofs. Now we know that you could get cancer from standing on your roof and smelling in that smoke and over an extended period of time?
Again, there are further research that needs to be done to prove, you know, cause and effect, but at least we can link that. There seems to be a correlation with chronic exposure. And again, that study was evaluating individuals over a 10-year period.
And so, just a quick answer here. People should get checked if they have a concern, or is there a certain condition under which they ought to go to their doctor and check it out?
For sure, if they got symptoms such as shortness of breath that seems to be worsening, or acute cough, any coughing up of blood, they should go seek medical attention right away.
All right, Dr. Merrill Shum, thank you very much. It's not good news, but it's important news, and thanks for sharing it with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't forget my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you get podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. But before you go, we leave you with this video made by a group of young people called Fridays for Future US. It gives a poignant look at what the future of the Golden State could be if we don't all pull together. See you next time.
Your dear Mount. Inside.